Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today from Redfield is Shane Peterson. Thanks for coming today, Shane.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, I think that you've been on probably close to a year now, if you count all your training, and I don't know that I've had you over here on the show, but I did work with you quite a bit when you were an intern. So for the listeners out there, why don't you just tell everybody kind of some things, where you're from, where you went to school, and that kind of thing.
Well, like Bryce said, I am the conservation officer for Spink and Fault County. I'm originally from Hayti. I graduated from Hamlin Education Center and then furthered my education to SDSU, where I graduated with a wildlife and fisheries degree. And then I, you know, throughout that process, I did internships in Watertown office here, did goose depredation, and then habitat. And then I was also part of the Pheasants Forever seasonal internship. So I've kind of been around the Watertown area here and did a lot of my work in the Watertown office.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Shane. So let's talk internships. There definitely seems to be a recipe when it comes to people getting jobs as a conservation officer. Do you feel like your internships definitely helped you out?
Yeah, exactly. They really did help me out. I did have to apply to be conservation officer for four times. So, you know, at that moment, I just kept my foot in the door and made sure I was getting my name out there. Other offices, such as the Webster office, and they all look at your work quality and how you do your work. So, yeah, they're very beneficial. And if I had to give any advice to anybody that's trying to get in this field, is work them internships and stay with the department as long as you can.
All right, very good. Well, while we've got you on here, let's talk about a few things over there in Spink and Fault County. The big thing, well, of course, for all of the state of South Dakota, but especially right around that Redfield area, is pheasant opener. And there was just a press release here not too long ago about how much fewer pheasant hunters there were in the whole state. Was Spink kind of like that? Did it seem like there was a few less hunters over there?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the groups that I talked to, they said, you know, Some of our people didn't make it out just because they heard low numbers, but you know, there was still a lot of people that were out and trying to chase the pheasant. You know, the success was down a little bit. Most of the success I seen was right around that half bird per person. Some places were even up to a bird a person.
What are some of the reasons? Are you hearing from landowners or other hunters? Do they think they have some theories or ideas why the pheasant numbers just aren't what they used to be?
A lot of people are saying is it was so dry. There was no dew for the young chicks and for the adults. It was so dry and hot. But you know, other than that, you know, there was a lot of haying that had taken place due to the dry weather. But yeah, as far as that, it's just I believe that it was from the dry weather and so hot spring.
All right. Around this area, it seems like the pheasant season has gotten a little bit better as we've moved into the winter and had a little bit cooler conditions. Is the pheasant hunting got any better over there as the year's gone on, or was the first couple weekends the best?
I would say, you know, now the people that are out walking the cattail sloughs and working, you know, you got to work pretty hard for them, but, you know, they are having pretty good success. But definitely the pheasants with the colder weather are getting grouped up in the cattail sloughs, and you know that can be kind of difficult to walk through and get them pheasants out, but they are there.
Very good. Let's talk waterfowl. A couple years ago, there seemed to be a lot more water in that Spink and Fault County country. Quite a few mallards and Canada geese and dart geese being harvested over there. A little bit drier this year, conditions like you talked about with the pheasants. Did that affect the waterfowl hunting?
I would say, for, you know, the mallard migration, we didn't see a lot of big concentration of ducks around there this year, but there still is Canada geese out on Cottonwood to this day. Checked it yesterday and they were still out there, but I'd say the big thing is the snow geese. The snow geese really migrated through there this year, and people were really getting after them.
Did you have many violations with those snow goose hunters?
Yeah, it seemed like a lot of the adult birds pushed out early and left with the juvenile snow geese, and people were shooting big numbers, and you've seen a lot of people shooting over their limit, over the 50 bird limit. So, you know, and a lot of did have quite a few reports of people driving by and shooting snow geese out windows and shooting from the roadway and stuff like that at snow geese.
Yeah, that was really disappointing to hear the amount of issues that we had out in that part of the region when it comes to snow goose hunting. And, you know, there's not really a whole lot of violations that one can have when it comes to snow goose hunting. And the limit's 50, like you talked about. So the fact that people were shooting over the limit of snow geese when you've got a 50 bird limit seems pretty egregious and very disappointing to a lot of us that are waterfowl hunters. But with that high limits, there was also a lot of wanton waste. So when you've got over limits of birds, a lot of birds being left in the fields and a lot of cripples that are not being picked up and that kind of thing. So that was really disappointing. And like you talked about, of course, when you've got that many birds in the area, you also run into things like shooting from the road, shooting from the vehicle and some of those other things. But the decoy hunters, usually we don't have a whole lot of issues with them, but this year for whatever reason, really a lot of violations. We'll kind of move down the list here a little bit while we're talking about waterfowl hunting. Just a quick report around here. We wrapped up the goose season on last Sunday, I believe it was, the 17th. Not a whole lot of action around. A few Canada geese left on pelican. I think there was some folks that were down in that part of the world doing a little bit of pass shooting. We really expected to see a lot of Canada goose hunters up around the power plant for the last weekend, but we just didn't see a whole lot of people. Pretty mild conditions, not a whole lot of wind, and that kind of kept the hunters at bay. There was a few geese harvested up there kind of throughout last week on some of the windier days, but unfortunately, with the weather as mild as it has been here late in the season, just didn't get much of a harvest as far as Canada's go up there at the power plant in Grant County. Well, that's kind of disappointing for people that look forward to that season. We talked a little bit about it last week. Pier, a great place to go out and try to harvest some Canada geese. Numbers were up last week. We talked about that a little bit too. The middle of this week, there was a pretty good little storm that went through there. That kind of helped the goose hunting out a little bit. As we move forward here into the Christmas break, there is going to be some cooler weather, and I expect those draw shacks to have some pretty good success out there. So look forward to that. Keep going here down to deer season. What did East River deer season look out in Spinkin Fault County there, Shane?
Well, the deer, like I said, the deer numbers were pretty decent. A lot of people were out. To be honest, I did not check a lot of deer that had been shot on the opening weekend, but you know, I've been seeing some pictures of people shooting some really nice deer out there. There was a deer just shot south of Redfield that scored 174, so that's a pretty nice deer. It was an old deer, but other than that, you know, there's a lot of people out and some were having success.
The deer numbers holding strong, or are they kind of following suit with the pheasants? Are they going down rapidly or staying about right?
I would say they're staying about, you know, about even from last year. Some people had said they are seeing fewer deer. They did have a little bit less deer, and some people weren't as happy as they had been from the years past, but it could just be the weather and the movement on their property might be different this year.
And then unlike around here, out there you can roll over any deer tags into that antlerless season, and I believe that starts right around the 30th, if I'm correct, Shane?
Correct. It starts December 30th and goes through January 7th, and that is for antlerless tags only. Your any deer tags do not convert over to doe tags.
Oh, they do not convert?
Nope.
All right, good to know. So antlerless tags only. And you'll have pretty good participation there, I would assume, since there's a lot of counties over here where they don't roll over. So that's kind of one of the only spots in the region over that direction where they have that antlerless season late.
Yes, exactly. And I looked the other day and there still is antlerless tags left for Fault County. But just one reminder is there's not a huge majority of public land to access. So if you're going to pick up a tag, maybe it'd be valuable to talk to some landowners and see if you can get on some of their property.
Yeah, that's a good point. We do get that question a lot. Hey, it looks like you have a bunch of leftover tags over in Fault County. Is there much for public property? And you kind of nailed it right on the head. Not a ton over there. So it's kind of nice to cross your T's and dot your I's and find a place to go before you pick up some over-the-counter antlerless tags and head that direction. So that's a good point. Well, let's change gears here and talk a little bit about fish. I think you had quite a bit of the summer to work over there in Spink County. I would assume that Cottonwood Lake is probably going to be your best fishery. Did you have much for fishing over there?
You know, to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of fishermen out there. Even this late fall, I didn't see many people out. But, you know, the couple of days ago, I checked the Cottonwood Lake. There was still geese out there. So that's just another reminder of make sure you watch for them open spots. And you know, I haven't seen anybody fishing out there this year yet. I just don't think the ice conditions are good enough to be out there yet.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question was ice conditions. So Cottonwood, no good. Probably the James River then. Is there much ice at all on that?
Yeah, the last I checked, it was all froze over with some pockets of open water where the water's moving a little faster in the current. But yeah, Cottonwood, I would say that the water is fairly low out there, but the ice conditions are not real stable yet.
Okay, and Twin Lakes?
That goes the same way. I know there's some sunken islands and some shallower spots out there that create havoc for fishermen, especially when the warm weather like we've had, it tends to open up and create for some treacherous ice conditions.
All right. Ice conditions around here, Coddington County will start off not too bad. Seeing quite a few fishermen walk out on just about all these bodies of water. Sunday was a pretty rough day last week for ice conditions. We had pretty high wind and then pretty warm temperatures that got really close to 40. So that wasn't good for any of the ice conditions. A lot of water sitting on top of the ice. This week, we started out kind of warm on Monday and Tuesday, but then by the time Wednesday came around, we've had some cooler temps. So I expect to see quite a few fishermen out on the landscape again. Still pretty darn good ice conditions for walking out, getting to the point where we might start seeing a few ATVs and snowmobiles. But still, really encourage people to use caution. Like Shane was talking, there is still some pockets of waterfowl in the area. Especially at the beginning of the week that was keeping some water open. So there is spots out there that are going to be pretty thin ice, and that's no different than any other year, but just always a good reminder not to be out there going and exploring places that you haven't been to yet without a spud bar or at least somebody with you. But as far as fishing success goes, I'm starting to see a few panfish coming off Lake Compesca, so that's good. Another lake in the area that's been giving up some fish already is Clear Lake by Thomas. A few perch and a few walleye mixed in there. And down at Lake Ponset, mostly seeing panfish coming off. Unfortunately, the walleye, the only ones that have really been biting too heavy has been the 10-inch year class. So it's time to start getting those 14s out of there, and for whatever reason, they're not really biting too active this early ice. So hopefully they'll take off here pretty soon, and we can start getting some of those 14.5-inch fish out of that system. Another really busy lake in the area in northern Clark County has been Cottonwood. Seeing dozens and dozens of shacks up there. Nice walleye, 16 to 19 inches, and then a very nice perch mixed in there as well. Scoot on up to Day County. Sounds like there's a few bays that have got almost a foot of ice already, and some ATVs and things have been pulling out some sleeper shacks. Obviously, we don't expect anybody to go out and do much exploring when it comes to ATVs and sleeper shacks, but sounds like there is a few bays that are good enough to hold those things up. Not much for fish being caught there yet, maybe a handful of walleye here and there. Not much for panfish. Wabe, that's been a much better bite, a lot of perch coming off there. Size structure has been all over the board, seeing some nice ones and then quite a few under that 10-inch range that are coming off the water as well. But Wabe, a place that was very busy last year, early ice, most people going on right around buckshots there, and this year following suit as well, very busy on that whole north end, and again most people going on at buckshot or the Grenville grade. But I expect Christmas weekend to be very busy. Last weekend was pretty darn good. A lot of fish being caught already. A little bit better fishing early ice this year than what we looked at last year. So that is good as we move forward. Kind of at the end of my list already. I appreciate Shane coming over from Redfield, and hopefully one of these days we will have you on again and give us some more updates from that direction.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bryce.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend, and we will see you back here same time next week.